This parsha, Vayichi, it's very hard to find. Like, when I was called up for Kayan, the guy was looking, he couldn't find it because there's no space over there. It's just like Vayichi is right after the word Ma'od. So, it's called a closed parsha. So, Rashi says two reasons. One, because Klal Yisrael fell into a shibud, and two, because he wanted to tell when Mashiach was going to come. And Chishev Legalis is like Kate, he wanted to tell when Mashiach was going to come. And Hashem took that away because if we knew exactly when Mashiach would come, then we would sin till a day before, and then we do tshuva. So better not to know when Mashiach is going to come. So Hashem took away that nevuah from him. So the actual word that's a stuma is not the word ma'od, because ma'od is the last word of last week's parsha. Ma'od ended where it was supposed to end. Last week's parsha ended where it's supposed to end. The problem is Vayichi. Vayichi starting, instead of 20 letters away or a space away, Vayichi starting right after the word Ma'od. So the word that's closed is the word Vayichi. So Chazal say that Vayichi stands for life. And life is really a very much a closed subject because we don't understand anything. The more we understand, the more we understand that we don't understand anything. And we don't understand why good things happen to bad people, bad things happen to good people. We don't understand a lot of things. It's very interesting because by the Asara Heruge Malchus, when the 10, we read it on Tisha B'Av and we read it on Yom Kippur, when the 10 Tzaddikim were killed in such horrendous, terrible ways, when they killed Rabbi Shmuel Kohen Gadol and they were peeling his skin off and it reached to the place of his tefillin and he let out a big yell, Malachim said, Zu Torah Zischaira, this is the Torah, this is how you give reward. Hashem said, if I hear another word, I will turn the world into Torah V'Voyah, into a total void. So they asked the Kasha that the Malachim, the angels, were asking a question. Their question was, how could you do this to such a tzaddik? How could you bring such pain to such a tzaddik? Hashem didn't answer the question. Hashem said, if you ask me another time the question, I'll destroy the world. I mean, Jews answer, you know, a question with a question. But this is Hashem. They asked Hashem a question. How could this happen? Zutari was his chayra. Hashem answered, you know what? You ask me this again. You ask it another question, we'll destroy the world. That's not an answer. That's a threat. So the truth is, Chazal said, no, that was the answer. The answer is, you're asking me a silly question. You're coming in, Malachim, and you see a tzaddik going through all this pain. You're asking me, how could this happen? If you want to know the real answer, I have to go back to the beginning of the world. So I have to go back to the Toyu V'Voyu. I have to turn the world back to Toyu V'Voyu, show you from the beginning of the movie till the end of the movie, then you'll understand the middle part of the movie. So it wasn't that Hashem was threatening them, you ask me another question, I'll destroy the world. Hashem was saying, his answer was, you want to know the answer? The only way you're going to know the answer is if you see the whole picture. So, Vayichi is a Pasha Stuma. Now, we'll understand that very simply. And I've spoken about this before, but it's a lead-up, actually. So the big question is, this week is the end of the Book of Bereishis, which is a very exciting book. The creation of the world, the Mabel, Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Yosef, Mitzrayim, the brothers, Yehuda, all these stories. It's like the Bereishis is like, wow, it's like so much going on. Shemos is pretty much based on Mitzrayim, leaving Mitzrayim. Bereishis is a lot of different ages. Adam, Noach, Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Mitzrayim. It's a lot going on in Bereishis. So we know that the end of a parsha or the end of a book is like a summation when a lawyer gets up and he summarizes the whole case. So the summarization of the whole book of Bereishis is the last pasuk of Vayichi. And then we all get up to Shabbos, Mitzvah Hashem, after lading, Chazak, Chazak, Vinis Chazay. So if we want to understand the whole book of Bereishis, you look at the last pasuk. What's the last pasuk? And then look at the last word in the last pasuk. That tells you everything, right? So if we look at the last pasuk in the book of Bereishis, in the Pasha Vayichi, it says, Vayamas Yosef, and Yosef died, Ben Meir Ve'Esar Shanim. He was 110 years old. Vayechantu also, and they mummified him, because the Mitzvim used to make everyone into a mummy so that the body would stay. They put him in a coffin. B'Mitzrayim, in Egypt. That's it. Last pasuk in the book of Bereishis. He died. They mummified him, put him in a coffin, and left him in Mitzrayim. What a way to end Bereishis. That's like the worst depressing pasuk in the whole book of Bereishis. He died, they mummified him, they buried him, and they left him in Mitzrayim. So, if this is the summation of the whole book, what's going on over here? Right? And what does that do with creation? The beginning starts with Bereishis, and the end starts with death. It doesn't look like this summarizes the whole book at all. So it's very hard to understand. Okay? Life is very hard to understand, and many times the struggles that we have in life is what rips us away. The trauma that we have in life is what rips us away from God instead of bringing us closer to God. Right? So let's take a look at what really happened here. We have to go all the way back to Parshas Vayeshev, to the story of Potiphar's wife. So there's this big war. Now, the Chidah says that the war was, I didn't bring my Chidah with me tonight, but that the war between Potiphar's wife was the Nachash, Potiphar's wife was the snake, Yosef was Adam, and this was the war of the snake and Adam, and had Yosef sinned with Potiphar's wife. Yosef was Yisoid. Yisoid is foundation. He was the foundation of Judaism, the foundation of the world. Had he fallen, the Jewish nation would have caved in, the world would have caved in, and the whole world would have been destroyed. So this was like war of the worlds. Not by H.G. Wells, but this was war of the worlds. It was Potiphar, his wife, who was really the Nachash, and he brings many writers to that, and Yosef HaTzadik, who was a Gilgal of Adam. And that's why he was so beautiful. And she was very beautiful. She was the most beautiful woman in the world because she was the Nachash. Now, what happened? Well, first of all, it's just very interesting because if you learn that she's the Nachash, right? She's the Satan. She was the Nachash. So the pasuk says, "Vayihi kedabre el Yosef yoyim yoyim." She spoke to him every day. She never left him alone, which is Yetzer Hara, which is the Nachash. She never left him alone. Every single day she bothered. V'lo yisham aleha. Well, he didn't listen to her. Okay. Then it says, and this is a very interesting point. Very deep. Then it says that Vatif She'ehu Bevigdai. She grabbed on to his clothing. The Chidah says, clothing represents the chitzainius of the person. The Yetzer Hara cannot get your neshama. Your neshama, he cannot get your neshama. It's too holy for him to get. But he can grab onto your chitzainius, your body, your chitzainius, and by taking your chitzainius, since your neshama is connected to it, that's how he gets your neshama. Sort of like you get the driver of the car by, if you tow a car and the driver's in the car, so you got the driver of the car with the guy who's driving the car. So, he could not, the Nachash, says the Chidah, could not grab Yosef himself. He could not get the core of Yosef HaTzadik, which was his sight. But Tifshehu Bevigdai, he could get his Chitzainius. He could get the Taiva, the materialistic, not moral world. But he couldn't get Yosef himself. Now, anybody who plays tackle football knows if a guy grabs onto your jersey to try to pull you down, if you can get out of your jersey, right, then you can keep running. Because he didn't get you, he got your jersey. In hockey, we knew that. If the guy has your jersey, just get out of your jersey, right? Especially if you're in a fight. Once you get out of your jersey, you're free. So what happened over here is, but if Shishay Bevigdai, she grabbed onto his chitzainius. The Chidah also says his chitzainius came because he was switched with Dina, whatever. So he was very beautiful. So she grabbed onto his chitzainius. Now you can go to war. If you're going to go to war, chitzenius against your chitzenius, your materialistic part, your human part of your body, your physical part, is going to go to war with the Yetzirah, you're going to lose. You're not beating him in that war. Because he's got so many weapons to get you. He's got movies and internet and girls and Skyping and
sushi.
Well, not sushi. But he's got a lot of different weapons. You're going to go toe-to-toe to him in the physical world. He's going to take you down. So he didn't go toe-to-toe to him, toe-to-toe with her in the physical world. What did he do? He did something brilliant. She grabbed on, but to Shea Bevigdai, she grabbed on to his clothing. Lema to say, Shifcha'imi, lie with me, be with me. Now, he knew he couldn't fight that. He could not fight that taifa. And this is the basis we're going into. This is a very boyish year, but we're going into Shoivavim starting next week, which starts with Shmois and go through Mishpatim, which talks about those are the weeks to do tshuva on a boy's avera. So we're going into the weeks of Shoivavim. He knew that if he went to war against her beauty, against his physical, against her physical, there was no way that he was going to win. And therefore, the whole thing of Shmiras Einayim, that a boy's not allowed to look at pictures and movies and girls, and you have to watch what you look at, is because even though you think you're different, that's the Yetzer Hara's big word, different. I'm different, that's his two words, you know. Everyone thinks, I can watch this movie, so it's rated R, it's not going to affect me. I can watch this girl walk down the street, big deal, what do you think, Rebbe? You think I'm addicted? I can handle this? I'm different. I can do all these things, they don't affect me. And I can go put on tefillin and daven, this stuff doesn't affect me, you know. So the girl in my office is not dressed correctly. Big deal, it's at the workplace, it doesn't affect me. That's the Yetzer Hara. I'm different is the worst two words that exist. Because guess what, you're not different. Ain't up a trouble, so you're not different. Moshe Feinstein is not different. Moshe Rabbeinu is not different. No man is different. Ain't of Trump's Arias, period. Doesn't matter who you are. The biggest tzaddik, the famous Gemara, where there was a man and a woman, they were walking through a field, and he said, I don't understand how we can walk in the field and not attack her. He was a Tana. I said, what are you talking about? He says, because the biggest tzaddik has ain't of Trump's Arias, period. You're not allowed to have yichud with a dead woman. Rabbi Gamil always talks about that. He says, she's dead. You're not allowed to be in the room alone with her. Halacha. Ain't Abutrapas Larayas. You want to go against the Yetzer Hara? You want to say you're different? You're going to lose. Yosef HaTzadik knew that. So what did he do when she grabbed onto his chitzenius? So what did he do, says the Pasuk? Vayazov Bigdoy Biyada. He left his clothing in her hand. In the spiritual world, meant he said to the Satan, chitzenius belongs to you. I don't have anything to do with it. I'm not fighting you. I'm not going up against you. I'm walking out. Vayanas. Vayetzeh chutzah. And he ran for his life. Vayanas is the big word here. He ran. Not. He said, maybe I'll look. I won't look. We'll check it out. We'll see. I remember a long, 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 long time ago. There was a hockey movie. And my friends... I never went to a movie. I was a Muncie boy. I never went to a movie. I was in camp in the summer, and my friends on the day off were going to this movie called Slapshot, was called. It was a hockey movie. And I said to them, I don't go to movies. I don't go to movies. A Muncie boy, never went to a movie. I don't go to a movie. They said, Zach, it's a hockey movie. I was a big hockey player. What could be already in a hockey movie? I said, well, it's rated a little weird. You know, why would it be rated that way? They said, oh, it's a bloody, you know, there's a lot of hockey fights and blood and whatever it is. And they're like, for sure there's nothing wrong with this movie. It's a hockey movie. I said, okay. Okay, you talked me into it. You know, it's okay, a hockey movie. What could be wrong? And we walked in, I think it was in Lock Sheldrick or Liberty, I'll never forget it. I walked in with my two friends. And the movie already started, because I'm late to everything. It doesn't matter if it's sheer or it doesn't make a difference. I walked in, and before I could even sit down, there was a scene on the screen where my whole life I never saw anything like that. I just turned around and walked out. And I said, you guys are nuts? What, are you crazy? And they're like, well, we didn't know. We thought it was a hockey movie. You Vayanas, you have to run. He didn't just walk. He didn't say, here's my chitzonius. But Yonas v'yetzeh chutzah. Yosef HaTzadik said, when it comes to Yetzer Hara, if you're going to go toe-to-toe with him, you're going to lose. You got to run to the other side of the street. You got to run away. A magazine comes to your house. A catalog comes to your house. You got to take it without looking and throw it in the garbage. Mamash, like the two sons of what's Nayach, walked in to cover him. Backwards, without looking. You can't say, I'll look and maybe this and that. You know already it's no good. You have to run for your life. Very hard. But don't think that you're different and you can go toe-to-toe. So Yosef understood, Atushay of Vigdei, says the Chidah, he left his chitzonius, he left his whole materialistic world in her hands. I'm out of here. I can't go toe-to-toe with you. Vayehi kir oisa ki azav Bigdei v'yada. When she saw that he left his chitzonius, his materialism, in her hand, vayonas hachutza. Not only did he leave it in her hand, did he say, I don't want any part of this, but that he ran away. There's two parts to this. One was that he left it in her hand. The second part is that he ran. When she saw that not only did he leave it in my hand, but he's not saying, okay, now you have my chitzonius. Now, he didn't discuss it with her. He didn't answer the text. He just deleted it. He didn't answer the email. He just deleted it. He didn't answer back. He just said, I'm out of here. When she saw that he ran, oh, she knew she lost the war. Next pasuk, Vayatikra Lanche Besa. She called everyone in the house. Vatemelahem Lamar. Ooh, look what happened. Hevi Lanu Ish Ivri. They brought me a Jew. The Tzachik Banu to play with us. He tried to attack me by force. And I'm screaming with my voice. All of a sudden, she was talking to him, how nice, this is the Yetzirah. How nice, and I love you, and you're special, and I'm not really married, with all the stories and the excuses. And day after day after day, she said, Lishkav Imoy, let's be together. I love you, you're special, I want you. Yeah. Every day. When he ran out of the room, and he said, I don't want any part of this, all of a sudden he became Ish Ivri. Look at this Jew who came to play over here, who tried to attack me forcefully. What happened to the loving, caring, and bothering you every day woman? That's Yetzer Hara. Every single day, I love you, I care about you, I want you to have fun. Come on, it's not the end of the world. It won't make a difference. And the minute you do an Aveira, he's the first one to run up to Shemayim. And he's, look at this Jew, look what he did, Hashem. He's the guy, that's why it says, for one that 1 second you feel guilty, because you only left with your Yetzer Tov when he runs up. He's the guy that gets you to do it, and then he's the guy who says, ah, look Hashem, look at your Ish Ivri, look at this Jewish guy. Look what he did, he came to attack me. Same guy that says, sleep with me every day, lay next to me every day. Yosef ran for his life. But it's an unbelievable chidah. But Tanach Bigdei Etzla, which is a pasuk that is so deep. What do we need to know this? What do we need to know this pasuk? What did she do? She took his clothing, Vatanach Bigdei Etzla, and she put it next to her. Ad boy Adonav al Beisa, she left it next to her, until her husband came home. Now, you will not see another pasuk, right? So you think, okay, when her husband came home, she took the clothing, and she what's it called? She gave it to him. No. It just says she told him what the Eved Ivri did, but he came, we have a car, I screamed, and he left his clothing, and he ran out. Doesn't say that she showed him the clothing or anything. So the Chidah says, that the Zaya says, that Yetzer Hara owns the world of Chitzonius, the materialistic world, he owns that world until Mashiach comes. And that's what this pasuk says. Vatanach Bigdei Etzla, the materialistic world will belong to her, Aboy Adonav El Beisai, until the master comes to his house, until Hashem comes back to the third Beis HaMikdash. So if you're going to fight him in the materialistic world, you're not going to win. You got to run for your life. When you get that text message, run for your life. When you get that email, run for your life. Don't answer it back. Run for your life. When you get that on Facebook, get off it. Run for your life. It's a social network. You don't belong there. He understood that. It's not our world. The big day is Etzla. The big day belongs to her. Until the master comes back to his home. Okay. So we know that everyone knows this story. Why am I telling you this story? So in a couple of parshas, in parshas Bishalach, when Klai Yisrael is running away from the Mitzrayim, and they're stuck by the Yam, right? So what does it say? It says that the Yam split. We all say it, right? Hayam ra vayanas. The Yam saw and it ran. It split. So Chazal say, and we ma ra hayam, what did the Yam see? So there's two Chazals. One says, Arayna Yishal Yosef. One says that it saw the coffin of Yosef. And one Chazal says, Atzmois Yosef. It saw the bones of Yosef. What's the difference? That's a good question. Why would one say the coffin and one says the bones?
It seems to be the same idea.
Same idea. They saw Yosef dead, right? But it's very different, the coffin and his bones. Did they see the coffin? Did they see his bones? Okay, so, very important. Very, what?
Yosef's body disintegrated?
His body? Seems to be.
Doesn't the Tzadik not disintegrate? I mean, not decompose?
It says Atzmos Yosef. I don't know. Maybe it saw its bones through his body. Since it's through the coffin too, might as well maybe throw it through his body. But it says Atzmois. He was mummified, yeah. Right, so asking a good question. So what's going on? What's this Atzmois Yosef? What's the bones of Yosef? So, we know, the Chazal says that when they came to the Yam, they were stuck. The Malach of the Yam, the Sar HaYam, said, I'm not splitting. God created me. Water doesn't split. My teva, my nature, is not to split. I'm not splitting. So they said, but the Jewish nation. So the Yam said, yeah. Hey, my Avodah Zarah. Hey, my Avodah Zarah. The Egyptians serve Avodah Zarah, and the Jews serve Avodah Zarah. If I split for them, I have to split for them. No, I'm not splitting. They're both equal. What does the Medrash say? Hayam Ra. That all of a sudden the Sar of the Yam saw Yosef's body and the Yam split. Nachshon jumped in and the Yam split. What did he see? His whole taina, the Sar of the Yam, his whole taina that I'm not splitting is because I was created by nature and water doesn't split. I freeze, but I don't split. Yosef went against his teva. Because here was the most beautiful guy with the most beautiful girl. Everybody's gone. She didn't consummate a marriage, so she wasn't married to this guy. She showed him in the stars that they were going to have two beautiful tzaddikim, Ephraim and Menashe. So the natural man would have done this avera with the girl. But he didn't. He ran for his life. So Chazal says, Mida keneged mida. Vayanas Yosef, Yosef ran, in the midah of Vayanas Yosef, Hayam Ra, the ocean saw Yosef, Vayanas, it did the same thing he did. You ran, I'll run. And that's why it splits. So why does the Medrash say Atzmos Yosef? Because the Medrash is saying that in the chus of him leaving, this is a chidah. In the schus of him leaving, his levush, his chitzainius, big day, a person's body, your guf, is called the beged of your neshama. It's the clothing of your neshama. So since he left his materialistic, his guf, his physical body in her hands, he said that you could keep, and he ran out. Therefore, ma ra hayam, Atzmos Yosef. The bones of Yosef. Because Yosef left the guf, the materialistic part of him, he left with the satan. So that's why it doesn't say Aroino Shel Yosef. It says Atzmos Yosef. Atzmos means my inner center of who I am without all the outside stuff. And that was Yosef. And that's what Tifshehu Bigdoy, he left the beged in her hands. And that's why it says the Yam saw his koyach, that Yosef was able to leave his natural part of him. That was his godless. But Yonas is very nice that he ran out. But then he left his gashmias, his physical part, he left in her hands. So that's your nature. Your nature is your physical body. And he left that in her hands. And therefore it said, I'm no longer dealing with nature, so therefore I'm going to split for him. It happens, I'm splitting for him, and the Jews are with him, and therefore I'm splitting for everybody. Now that we know this pshat, let's take a look at the last pasuk in the book of Bereishis. Not only it's not the worst pasuk, it's the best pasuk that was ever written in the whole Torah. Because what does the pasuk say? Vayamas Yosef, he died. Vayechantu also, and they mummified him. Vayisem ba'arayin, according to one medrash, that's what the Yam saw. The Arayin. Bimitzrayim. So the last word in the book of Bereishis is Bimitzrayim, that he was buried in Mitzrayim. Because if Yosef would have not been buried in Mitzrayim, and Yaakov, he would have been buried like Yaakov. And he would have commanded his children like Yaakov commanded his children, I'll take Bereini Bimitzrayim, don't bury me in Mitzrayim, take me to Eretz Yisrael. So Yosef would have been taken to Eretz Yisrael. If Yosef would have been taken to Eretz Yisrael, when Klai Yisrael would have come to the Yam would have said, I'm not splitting. And there would have been no Oren Shel Yosef. And there would have been no Vayonas, Vayah Hayam Vayonas, because there was nothing to see. He's buried in Eretz Yisrael. So the Jews would have come to the Yam without the bones of Yosef. And the Tsar of the Yam would have said, hey, my boy, Dezara, but hey, my boy, Dezara. They're both doing, but I'm not splitting. And the Jews would have been massacred. So the only thing that saved them was that last word in the whole book of Bereishis, that he was buried in Mitzrayim. Because since he was buried in Mitzrayim, the Jews had to carry him out. Since they carried him out, that was discussed that the whole Yam split. Why did Hashem create the world? Bereishis, that started this whole book, Hashem created the world so we should get the Torah. If Klal Yisrael would have been destroyed by the Yam, we would have never gotten the Torah. So the best word to close the whole book of Bereishis is the word Mitzrayim. Because had he not been buried and mummified and put in a coffin in Mitzrayim, had he been mummified and put in a coffin in Eretz Yisrael, we would have never been saved. Had we never been saved, there would be no reason to read Bereishis. So actually, the last word and the last pasuk in Bereishis is the greatest pasuk in the Bereishis, because without it, we would have never made it. So it looks like the worst thing, the worst pasuk in the whole book of Bereishis, ends up being the absolute best pasuk and would save the whole Bereishis and would save Klal Yisrael. And what no better way to end the parasha of Vayechi Shtuma, that where it looks like the worst thing happened ended up being the best thing. And that's what we say, Chazak Chazak Minis Chazay. That he was buried in Mitzrayim, which looks like such a terrible thing. He was mummified, he was buried in Mitzrayim, ended up being the greatest thing. So in life, what better lesson can we learn than we can learn from the last pasuk in Bereishis? That in life, the things that look the worst and the most painful end up being the most helpful. Our disability becomes our greatest ability. The thing that you, that no pain, no gain, the thing that you know, the rock that you tripped over, so now you put up a big sign for everyone else that they shouldn't trip over that rock. So that's godless. It was worth tripping over that rock. So now you can pick up a big sign. Caution. You fell, but now it's caution. You're not letting anyone else fall in the same place. But if you're not going to put up that sign and you're going to trip over again, so then you're a fool. You stop in Michigan, trip over the same rock twice. And a person who doesn't care doesn't put up the sign. A person who cares puts, beware. You know, pothole. And city doesn't care. So they have a pothole, they don't put up a sign. If you care, you put up a sign. So this was such a lesson, Pashas Vayechi, to learn from Yosef HaTzadik, which it looked like was mamish the worst thing. And he was the prime example of this. Because what happened to him was he was sold by his brothers. I mean, you know, if that happened in our day and age, that your brothers tried, threw you into a pit and then they sold you, it's not that they would go to jail, right? You would need therapy for the rest of your life. Post-traumatic syndrome. I mean, your brother tried to sell you. So, and I don't think many of us would forgive our brothers for that. And who did they sell them to? The lowest of the low, to the lowest place in the world. And you see that Yosef and Pasha Vayichin, the end parak is so much that they say to him that the Yiru Achi Yosef Kimeis Aviyam. They said, Esav waited till Yitzhak died to go after Yaakov to kill him. We know you were waiting till your father dies. Now you're the king of Mitzrayim. Now you're going to give us pets. You're not going to let us get away with selling you and trying to kill you. So they were scared. Yehuda, all these big brothers, were scared of their brother Yosef. He's going to give us back all the bad we did to him. He's going to take revenge. And he said, what are you talking about? His brothers fell in front of him. We want to be your servants. Don't punish us for what we did to you. We'll be your servants. He looked at them like they were crazy. What are you worried about? What do you think, I'm God? I'm going to punish you? You had a mind to do bad to me. This whole thing of selling me, God was thinking, the whole time you were thinking bad, he was thinking good. Because I was able to save the world. Not only that, but I'm going to reward you, he says. I'm going to feed you and your children. And he comforted them. And he spoke to their hearts. He didn't have to do that. Yosef understood more than anyone else. The person has to go against his teva. The teva is to take revenge. The teva is to get back at the people who hurt you. That's the nature of a human being. You hurt me, I'm going to hurt you. Definitely not going to reward you. But he was Yisoid. He was Yosef HaTzadik. He worked on himself. Then not only didn't get back at them, he said, you think you did it? You didn't do nothing. Hashem did it. And not only that, don't worry about it. I'm going to take care of your kids. And not only that, he spoke to their hearts. And he made them feel good. He was the epitome of going against his nature. And how did he do that? How did he do that? Matifshehu Bigdam, he left his physical body, his nature, in her hands. He said, it's her, you can have that. I am going into my pneumias. I am not taking revenge on my brothers. I'm not angry at my brothers. This was all meant to be. And he worked on himself. That's why he's called Yosef HaTzadik. To a point where not only he didn't punish his brothers, but he spoke to them nicely. Like he did me a favor. I mean, there's famous stories like that where a person got slapped. And then the Gemara talks about this woman, this mother spit in her son's eye, in his face in front of everyone, and he kissed her and he hugged her. And everyone's like, why? He said, because I have this disease. That the only way to cure the disease, the doctor said, is if you get someone else's phlegm in your eye. You turn the whole story around. It's the Gemara. So how do you get to that point? So another word for big day, this clothing that a person wears, what does nice clothing do for a person? It gives them stature. Right? A lot of people show off by their clothing. I'm wearing, look at my designer suit. And my designer tie and my shoes, and that, you know, I'm better dressed than you. I mean, that's how the whole fashion world works. I'm better dressed than you, you're better dressed than me. You wear Prada, I wear Gucci, you wear, you know, Brioni, I wear, you know, Canali, and everyone's, it's all about the label. It doesn't matter what the clothing looks like. So a person's beged in the Sifri Musar, a person's beged is his gaiva. Is being a big shot, right? So you put on your clothing and you feel like, look how I'm dressed, right? A king wears a certain clothing. It's your beged. It's who I am. Understand? The way a person gets dressed, and it is no Shiloh. You know, I had I'll never forget this. I was just talking to the girls. I was giving them a tzniyah shiur in my school, and I said that I had a huge meeting with Walgreens, and I sell plastic bags, and Walgreens orders like $10 million worth of bags a year. like they're huge. And I got this bid, and you have to come down to meet, before they'll even talk to you about pricing, you have to come down to meet the people running the company. So we had to fly down. I don't know where they are in Michigan. I don't know exactly where they were. We had to fly down, but they tell me 11 o'clock, who's the meeting? CFO, Karen so-and-so. Purchasing agent, Susan so-and-so. Assistant purchasing agent, you know, another woman's name. I'm like, this is going to be easy. Three ladies. I mean, I can sell guys to Washington Bridge. I can definitely sell these. Like, so I'm like, this is going to be easy. This is going to be a no-brainer. I'm going to walk in there, and three lady buyers. I walked into that room. It's one of these big rooms, like one of these big meeting rooms. These three ladies are there already. Right, I walked in, the secretary brings me in. They're all three dressed in business, blue business suits, skirts, not pants, right? White blouse, button to the top, suit. I was like, oh my God, it's the Inquisition. But the difference in respect that I had for them, the moment I walked into that room, was I had a pit in my stomach. I was like scared. Oh my God, these are real buyers. This is real business. This is serious business. Before they opened their mouth, just by how they were dressed. Now, if I would have walked in there and they were wearing jeans and shorts and tank tops, I would have taken that meeting very, I'm trying to teach my girls in school, I would have taken that meeting very differently. So the way a person gets dressed, right? So when you get dressed a certain way, it demands respect. Demands respect. You walk in a certain way, it demands respect. This is who I am. So a very rich guy is going to wear a bow tie, right? Because the guy who wears a bow tie is saying, I don't care what anybody thinks, right? A guy who's very, very rich doesn't care what anyone thinks. So if I want to wear a bow tie, and I'm a big lawyer, I'm going to come in with a bow tie. Poor people don't wear bow ties. They do, because they're the butler in that guy's house. But people who wear bow ties are people who are like, I don't really care what you think, because I got enough money not to care what you think. So certain means of dress say a lot about that person. So in the Sifrei Musar, the gaiva, being a big shot, that whole thing is called like the outer clothing of a person. Yosef's koyach to forgive his brothers and to have the power to cause the sar of the ocean to split was that he left his outer clothing, which means his gaiva, his me, ani. He left that in the satan's hands. There's no me. If there's no me, then you can help everybody else. I talk about this all the time. The guy that gets in the way of a marriage relationship is yourself. The guy that gets in the way of a relationship between a parent and a child is yourself. All relationships, the difficulty that most people have with relationships, is they're in the way. So when you're in front, if I'm sitting at this table and Zachariah Wallerstein is sitting in front of me, then I can't see any of you. Once I remove Zachariah Wallerstein, then I see everybody. So anybody that's a tzaddik, that sees the problems of Klal Yisrael, has to first remove themselves. They can't take themselves too seriously. The person who walks around and says, you know who I am? You know what I do? You're in the way. You're not going to see anybody. You're busy with yourself. Even when you're helping people, you don't see them. You see yourself helping them. Ah, I'm a great guy. I'm helping them. When you remove yourself, you just see them being helped. Very big difference between a person who sees himself helping people and a person who sees people being helped. Because the guy who sees himself helping people walks around, you know how many people I saved today? You know what kind of guy I am? I do kiruv. I give tzedakah. I do charity. I'm a big cholim. I'm a hatzolah guy. You know who I am? You know what I do? Worthless. You're worthless. It's all gaiva. It's about you. But a guy that walks around and says, oh my gosh, this person was helped today, and this person was helped today, and this person was helped today, and that makes me feel good, Not that I helped them, but it makes me feel good that at the end of the day, this person is alive, and this person came back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Not that I made him come back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and I have enough. How many people were you Makariv? People ask me that all the time. They're asking, how many people were you Makariv? Who cares? Ask me, how many people are Makariv to Hashem? That I care. Well, I was Makariv. I did something. Hashem gave me the mouth. Hashem gave me the idea. He likes me. He spoke to me. I did something. You have to leave that part of you in the satan's hands. There's no you. You have to be mavatal yourself when it comes. If there's a you, you're in the way of yourself. You mavatal yourself. All the gedolim, that's what they did. They were mavatal themselves to Christ. So Moshe Rabbeinu was a doormat. There was no Moshe Rabbeinu. Yisrael couldn't watch it. There was no Moshe Rabbeinu. Doesn't Aviram didn't leave him alone. From the day that he killed the Mitzri to save their life, they did not leave him alone with the Mon. They made fun of him. They did not leave him alone. Came to Korach v'Adosai against Moshe Rabbeinu. Dosan v'Aviram were part of it. And Moshe Rabbeinu went to their house. He called them. He said, come, let's talk. Let's make peace. And they said, you? We're not going to make peace with you. So he got up. There was no Moshe Rabbeinu. He didn't exist. He got up and he went to them. Because he was a gadol. That was Yosef HaTzadik's koyach. He left his beged. He left his materialism. He left himself. His beged, his outer beged in the satan's hands. And he just went into his essence. And that's how he was able to say to his brothers, who sold him, tried to murder him, put him in the worst position in his life, what he went through, what happened to him, not normal. And the end of the parasha, he's like, there is no me. I left that in her hands. There's no me. This is not about me, guys. You didn't hurt me. Hashem wanted me to be here. Have a good day. I'll take care of anything you need. Not only that, I love you. And he spoke into their ears, and he made them feel good. You can't do that if you get in the way. What do you mean? This guy hurt me. You did it to me. He took my donut. You know, I told you the story last week. He took my cupcake. How can I get past that? You know what he did to me? No, what did he do to himself? If he's a ganav. What did you do to yourself? You took something that belongs to someone else. Look how you hurt yourself. That was his koyach. That was Yosef HaTzadik's koyach. And finally, the ultimate circus, sacrifice. He was thrown into the Nile River, his body, till Klai Yisrael left. And he said, don't leave me here. Moshe Rabbeinu, who had no self, who also took away his materialistic thing. And what happened at the end of Mitzrayim? All the Jews were running after the what? The clothing. Everybody was running after the clothing. The money, the money, the money, the money. Right? One person went to find Yosef, because he was like Yosef, because he also didn't have any clothing. He also didn't have any self that he was interested in. He didn't pick up a dollar. He went, Moshe Rabbeinu, he met Serach Bas Asher, who was still alive, and he said, where is Yosef's body? I'm not interested in all the money and the gold and the silver. Where is Yosef's body? And she showed him where it was. And he brought it up from the Yam. And Moshe Rabbeinu was busy with Atzmas Yosef, because Moshe Rabbeinu was the same as Atzmas Yosef. There was no Moshe Rabbeinu. He made himself into a no. There was no him. He was mevatel himself. He didn't get it. Yisrael couldn't watch it. Yisrael was like, you can't do this. You can't. You can't take care of everybody. You can't. You can't. We got to have people helping you. But Moshe Rabbeinu, was no him. And that's what saved Klai Yisrael. But Yonas Achutza. And I think that's something that we need to take very, very much into Shaivavim. Because the only way to stay pure as a boy, as a man, to stay pure is to run. When things that are impure are near you or around you, you got to get the computer out of your room. You got to get the TV out of your room. You got to get the cable out of your room. You got to get the DVDs out of your room. Don't let the Yetzer Hara tell you that they could be in your room. Don't worry about it. Nothing's going to happen. He understood Yosef HaTzadik. He was much holier than any of us in this room. He understood that the TV's got to, either I got to go out of the room, or the TV or the movie box or whatever's in that room has got to go out of the room. I can't fight him. You can't fight him when it comes to materialistic world. He will beat you. He is a better warrior than you are, even better than Yosef, and Yosef knew that. She will get me if I go toe to toe. I gotta leave my gashmius with her. It's hard. I'm not telling you that it's easy, but it definitely worked. It worked for him. And that's why the last pasuk is the biggest pasuk in the whole book of Bereishis. Thank God they left him in Mitzrayim. Because if he would have been buried in Eretz Yisrael, we all wouldn't be here today. None of us. We would have been wiped out. And you know what? You wouldn't have needed Bereishis. Because the whole creation of the world was only to get the Torah. I want to end with a story. Midnight Pasha Vayechi. And Vayechi talks about life. So we know that the difference between a teenager and a grown-up and an adult is one thing. One big word. Anyone know what that word is?
Maturity.
What?
Maturity.
No. Consequence. An adult thinks about every action has a reaction. What's the consequence of my action? A kid, just having fun. No consequences. Doesn't matter. I'll worry about it later. And as you get older, I was just talking to someone. I'm in my 50s. As you get older, you start to... Like in your 40s, you're still not there, but once you hit 50, you start to really think about consequence. It's like, it's a totally different thought process once you hit 50 years old. There's a certain, you want to call it Deya, Chachma, Bina, whatever you want to call it. But even when you're 30s and you're 40s, you're like, you're still not that into the whole consequence. When you're 50, you start having grandchildren, you start getting older, you start thinking about all your actions, and every action is a little more thought out. You're not a Vilda crazy guy anymore. You're thinking about, you know, if I drive 70 miles an hour and I'm in a borough park, a kid could jump out of a, you know, I may be having fun, but a kid could jump out of a driveway. So you slow down. You think differently. It's not the guys in the car just flying down the highway. Think differently. So the big difference is consequence. And if we understood consequence, our lives would be very, very different. If we had that thought a second before we do something, what's the consequence of what I'm about to do? We wouldn't do a lot of things. So there's a story that I heard. I never said this story before. And I think it's a very deep, very, very good story. This guy goes to this guy's house. And he sits down and he's serving him. And he says, "Would you like a glass of wine?" He says, "Yes," and he takes this exquisite, exquisite crystal cup. And he puts it in front of this guy, and he pours him the wine. And he says, "L'chaim," and he starts drinking the wine. And he puts it down, he starts eating, and he knocks over the glass with his arm, and it falls off the table, and it falls onto the floor, and it shatters. Breaks it to 100 pieces. He says, "Oh my God, I'm so sorry. I can't believe I did this. I broke your glass. Crystal glass. You know what? I want to pay you for it. Here's $10. And the guy's like, no, I don't need your $10. It's fine. Don't worry about it. Okay. Then it bothers him. And I broke this guy's glass. So he comes back and he says, "Take the $10. He says, "It was worth a lot more than $10. He says, "Really? It's like a special crystal, like, you know, special name. I'm really, really sorry that I broke this glass. Here's $500. He says, no, it's okay. I don't want you to pay for it. He says, no, really, take the $500. He says, "Tell you the truth, it's worth a lot more than $500. "With what, $500, one crystal glass?" He says, okay, "I guess you're not going to tell me how much it's worth. Here's $2,000. $2,000, it's not worth more than $2,000. He says, "I don't want your money." He says, no, it'll make me feel better. "Take the $2,000. He goes, "I'll tell you the truth, it's worth a lot more than $2,000. He says, what are you talking about? He says, "How much is it worth?" He says, "Want to know the truth, how much it's worth? But if I really don't, I don't want it. I don't want you to pay me for it. If you promise you won't pay me, I'll tell you what it's really worth. He says, I need to know how much it's really worth because I broke it. He says, $20 million. What? $20 million for a crystal goblet? He goes, yep, it's what I paid for it. What is it? He says, I bought it from a museum in Israel. What is it? He said, they found this crystal goblet buried in Eliyahu HaNavi's cave. And it's believed to have been Eliyahu HaNavi's cup. I paid $20 million for that cup. And he's like, I don't have $20 million to pay you. He goes, even if you did, I could not take the money. And he says, well, why not? He says, do you know why I gave you the wine in that cup? He says, why? He says, because I was giving you that cup as a present. He says, what? He says, yeah. He says, you're my best friend and I wanted you to have that cup. I was going to be your present. I can't believe I broke it. I thought it was a $3 cup. $500 cup. You were going to give me Eliyahu HaNavi's cup. And I broke it. Why didn't you tell me when you gave it to me what it was? He said, I really didn't think you were going to knock it off the table and break it. Another ridiculous story. What's the story? Pashas Vayechi. Vayechi is Stuma. Kosh Baruch Hu gave every one of us a 20 million, billion, trillion, zillion dollar neshama. Every single person. And they go through life. And they're like, all right, I did this Aveira, I did that Aveira, what do I owe you, Hashem? Amincha, Shachris, fast day, a little tshuva. Not so bad. No. It's worth a little more than that. It's worth a little more than that. It's worth a little more than that. Your neshama, an amein, a mitzvah. And I gave it to you for free. You were born, I gave it to you. I didn't sell it to you, you didn't have to pay for it. You didn't pay for neshama, I gave it to you. Came into this world and I gave it to you. It's a present. Why'd you tell me what it was worth? Why'd you tell me? I didn't think you were going to break it. I didn't think you were going to take it on the internet all day. I didn't think you were going to drag it through all the schmutz that you're dragging it through. But we get to find out that the goblet and this beautiful neshama that we were given, we find out what it's worth only after we die. And then it's too late. And then we're screaming and yelling, if you would have told me, if I would have known, I would have never put it on the table. I would have put it in this secure museum lockbox with guards and soldiers and... Too late. It's too late. Parshas Vayechi, Stuma, life is closed. We don't know what we have. We don't know what a mitzvah is. It's worth a lot more than Eliyahu HaNavi's goblet. What a ridiculous story. And we keep coming back. You know, I'll pay you back, Hashem. It's a big deal. Because we don't realize that, no. It's not 2,000, it's not 5,000, it's not 10,000. It's a neshama. It's a life. The value of life is potential of every second. What a person can do. So there's a woman that opens up my girl shir every week. Her name is Nancy. Now her name is Nechama, and she reads a poem. If you watch Torah anytime, which a lot of you do, so you'll see her every week. She reads a poem. When she came to Arnava 3 years ago, she was agnostic, which means she didn't... Atheist means they don't believe in God. Agnostic means they don't believe that there is, they don't believe that there isn't. They don't know. In other words, they're not walking around saying there isn't a God, but they're not walking around saying there is a God. I don't know. I haven't seen him. I don't know if there is. I don't know if they're not. It's agnostic. She was totally agnostic. And I didn't really know her story, but today, Hashem is amazing. God's amazing. She was going through certain things. She said, Rabbi Wasti, I need to speak to you. I said, I can tell you that I'll be in Ornava. I speak at Ataras Nava. I give a class. I finish at 12:30. So if you come at 12:30, I'll be there for sure. She needs to talk to me about some stuff. So I come in, and at 11:30 she's there because Accessoride came an hour early. I'm like, you know what, Nancy? Why don't you get up and speak to my girls? Instead of me giving the share, you give the share. She spoke today. I was mamish krah. What this woman went through in life, she should come speak to you guys. Nobody that I know went through what she went through in life. She's 65 years old. She came to Arnava at 62. She didn't believe in Hashem. Today, she's Shomer Shabbos, Shomer Mitzvahs, keeps kosher, and writes poems, the most amazing, deep poems about connecting to Hashem. And she got up today and she spoke to the girls in my seminary. There's about 70 girls. And she spoke about how her mother was a pharaoh, which means her mother was a very mean. Her mother was very mean, and Judaism was taught to them as a hateful, bitter, cold religion. She grew up with that. She's trying to deprogram herself. Her father sexually abused her when she was 8 years old. She got up and told this to the girls. So her whole picture on life was, if there is a God, like, you're mean. She was just totally turned off to Hashem, Yiddishkeit, and everything. Totally turned off. And she got up and she spoke how interesting, because she found Yiddishkeit in Ornava, but she found it because she was always judged. She doesn't cover her hair, whatever it is. She's modern. And she was always judged by the way she looked. And I had this discussion. Did you come to Ornava to confirm what your parents always taught you? In other words, you're going to walk in and all the religious girls are not going to talk to you, so you could say, see, my parents were right? Or did you come to Ornava to find out that maybe there are some Jews that really don't judge you? What was the real reason, subconsciously, that you came? Wasn't it that you were coming, you're going to, like, they're not going to look at me, and see, my parents are right. They advertise in Jewish press that they're a very family-loving, conscious place. Ha-ha! My parents were right. Jews are miserable, hateful religion. I said, really, why did you come? Half and half, for both reasons. And they all wanted to know the girls. So what was the game changer? Like, Walsing told a story that, like, got you? Somebody said something to you? And she said, no. Slowly, I saw that Judaism is a beautiful religion. And every shir I came to, I grew a little bit more. So I said to the girls, you know, there are two Bali Tshuvas. There's one that slowly comes close to Hashem. I'm one of them. Every day you grow, you get closer and closer. I said, so when you fall in love with someone on a emotional relationship, so the longer you spend with them, the more in love you are with them. Because it gets deeper and deeper and more emotional. So when you find Hashem and you love Hashem, the longer you spend with him, slowly, the more time, the more you get close to him. But if it's a relationship that's based on an infatuation, where a girl walks into a room, the guy walks into a room, and she's cute, he's cute, they look at each other and like, wow, let's get married, right? Infatuation. What's the basis of infatuation? The basis of infatuation is the freshness. It's like, wow, the first meeting was like, I'm infatuated. I love it. So the more time, the less infatuated you become. Because the whole infatuation is the newness. And the more time you spend with the person, the less newness. And that's why we have a lot of shalom bayis problems with young kids who get engaged and married, because they're infatuated with each other. And then when they start spending time with each other more and more, the freshness is gone. And when there's no freshness, infatuation disappears. It's just a mirage. It's nothing. Infatuation doesn't last. So many times I'll ask you, are you infatuated? But someone who connects, we'll use the word connects, emotionally, so the longer, the more the connection. So a person who finds Hashem slowly, the more he spends time with Hashem, the more that relationship develops. A person who gets infatuated by Judaism, they're walking like, I love Cholent, I love Kugel. I love the way they sing in Shul. I love Kalabach. I just love Shabbos. It's just amazing. They're like infatuated. It's their first Shabbos. But by their 250th, 800th Shabbos, it's not new anymore. I already went through the motions. And their children totally go off the derech. Because they found Judaism, they got infatuated. The children are not infatuated because they were brought up with it. So it's not something new. It's not something exciting. Ugh. So when they asked Nancy, what was the game changer? It wasn't one thing. It was a buildup. And that's why she's more religious and more religious. And her poems are so deep. It's almost like you're listening to a Musa Sefer. Unbelievable. She wrote about herself, a seagull and amazing, just amazing. She's a poet. Amazing. So one girl asked her, you went through so much pain. How could you talk about, she was talking about Hashem hugging you like a mother bird hugs its child and its wings. I mean, she was like, she's very poetic, right? And these girls are sitting there like, your father molested you. Your mother, she was the only child. Because she had nowhere to go, no one to talk to. Her mother was the most abusive woman in the world. She had absolutely no one to go. She got married to an atheist. Her daughter ended up marrying a guy. She got divorced 17 years ago from this guy, right, who was totally anti-everything. So she's had like the most miserable life. So this girl, you know, my girl, they asked, she said, how could you say God is hugging you in his wings of a dove, right, when he caused you all this pain? Straight up question. She said something, she said godless today. She said, it's like a shot by a doctor. She said, why does a child get hysterical and an adult doesn't? Child gets hysterical at the top of their lungs because the child doesn't understand that the doctor's ever going to pull that needle out. Child doesn't understand that. And a child does not have any understanding of what's in that needle. It sees a needle. The needle is going into its arm. It hurts. It screams because in its mind, that needle is staying in its arm. So as an adult goes for a flu shot or a penicillin shot, the adult understands the doctor's going to stick the needle in for about 2 seconds and then take it out. And while the needle's in, the doctor's going to put either flu or medicine or whatever it has to go into the arm. So she said to this girl, if you live in your pain, you're a child. And you'll be in it all your life. If you're an adult and you understand, because Baruch was giving you pain, it's a shot, but it'll end. It will end. And when it ends, it will be medicine for you. I was like, you should be given my share. Godless. And if a person understands that and thinks about it, you know, I was just with my grandchild, they did a strep culture. Kid was beyond himself. Because he thought that Q-tip would be gagging him for the rest of his life. The doctor's putting a Q-tip, right? And a little more, and the kid's thinking in his head, he's a kid, he doesn't know. That's it, the rest of my life, I'm going, right? So he's crying, he's screaming at the top of his lungs. You got to quiet him down. It's like, it takes 10 minutes and 15 lollipops. But one adult after another, next. How come the adult's not screaming? Because we know you're putting the Q-tip in for 2 seconds, and you're taking it out, and you're doing a culture. That's the difference between the child and the adult. So she told this girl, it's time to grow up. I grew up. It took me 62 years to understand that Hashem's going to take that needle out of my arm. And that for whatever reason, this is what I needed to go through in life. I'm like, this is from a woman that 3 years ago at 62 years old didn't believe in God. God forbid she would have had a heart attack 3 years ago. She would have gone up to Shemayim. She would have had the biggest shock in her life. She would have met God. She would have been shocked. And he would have said, where's the goblet that you broke? Neshama. It was worth $1 trillion. I was going to give it to you. I gave it to you and you didn't use it. What a deep thought. That Nechama, we don't call it Nancy anymore. She wants to be called Nechama. What an amazing thought by Yechi Yaakov. Yaakov Lomes. Yaakov never died. What he left in this world, Klal Yisrael and his children, all have his DNA, Yaakov Lomais. It starts off Vayichi, it ends off that Yosef died and they mummified him in Mitzrayim. He also never died. Because of his Atzmos Yosef, that's what caused Klal Yisrael to be able to go through the Yam, which the whole Shemais, by the way, I found it very interesting because the last word is Mitzrayim, and without him being buried in Mitzrayim, there's no reason for the whole Shemais. Because the whole Shemais, the whole next book is Yetzias Mitzrayim. When you got Yetzias Mitzrayim and you got out and you got stuck at the Yam and you got wiped out, the whole Shemais is wasted. So that last word, Mitzrayim, is connected to the Eilu Shemais B'nai Yisrael. Because without Mitzrayim, without him being in Mitzrayim, without him taking off his outer clothing, his materialistic part of him, without him taking it off and leaving it, there'd be no Klal Yisrael. Parsha Stuma. Life is a closed book. Chazak, chazak, v'nis chazak.